Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Coming up, jobs. The president's talking about the millions of Americans need them, and historically, small businesses have provided most of them. With that in mind, we'll ask, what do small businesses here in Massachusetts need to do to help get the job market moving?
But first today, if you're scheduled to fly out of Logan Airport on Delta, Continental, or Alaska Air anytime soon, get ready for some extra security screening. And no, you won't have to take off yet another article of clothing. Instead, TSA officials are trying something new in Logan's Terminal A. It's called behavioral screening.
And it's a technique that's been used successfully by the Israelis for years. Logan's 60-day experiment with behavioral screening has just begun. NPR's Tovia Smith waited her turn in the security line to find out what it's all about.
We've all seen the usual airport pat-downs. This is what you may call a chat-down.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you today?
Fine, thank you.
Just going to ask you a few questions, okay?
Sure.
Blue-uniformed TSA officials spend a minute or two peppering passengers with basic questions like where they're going, for what, and for how long. Some travelers may not even speak English, but the behavior detection officers care less about answers than affect.
We're looking for behaviors that are out of the norm and some kind of indicators of intent to cause a problem.
George Nakera, the TSA's security director in Boston, says there's a long list of hints or tells that can out a bad guy planning to do bad things.
The movement of the eyes, perspiring in a cool environment, the Adam's apple movement. I can't be more specific because they're somewhat classified.
Nakera says he doesn't want the list to end up in some terrorist training manual, but experts say most of what they're looking for are physiological reactions that are impossible to repress.
That's like saying don't have a heartbeat.
That's Mark Salem, who's made a career as a consultant to law enforcement and a performer. So good at reading people's nonverbal cues, you'd think he was reading your mind.
All right. Let's try an example of this. I'll just pick a two-digit number between 50 and 100. Both digits even, okay?
50 and 100.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Have you got it?
Yep. Normally, Salem would be looking for visual cues, a shuffle or a fidget. But we're on the phone, so his only clues are things like voice quality, hesitations, or in this case, even less.
Say nothing aloud. I'm just going to work off of breath. Hold your mouth next to the phone. I'm going to do this very rapidly. 51, 52, 53, 54, 55, 56, 57, 58, 59, 60, 61, 62, 63, 64. 65, 66, 67, 68.
It was 68?
Yeah.
How did you know that?
You hear even your tongue made a little click.
Want to hear that click again? Pretty subtle stuff. But Salem says he was listening for something like that. He knew I'd try and control my breathing.
If you hold up something, if you clog one channel of information, it's got to come out somewhere else.
In fact, the TSA has a list of about 35 things they're listening and looking for, including a facial expression of fear, for example. A really good poker face could make that less obvious. But Paul Ekman, a behavioral expert and longtime TSA consultant, says facial muscles will still move for a split second, and officers can be taught to spot that.
All we're doing is training your eyes to be able to grab very, very fast expressions. I mean, this is like, you know how football players learn to get peripheral vision and to spot people who are going to try to tackle them? It's the same kind of thing. We're training a visual skill.
The tricky part is sorting out whether a passenger is just nervous about traveling, for example, or about the bomb in his shoe. And while the Israelis seem to have mastered that, experts say Americans face unique challenges. There's greater sensitivity in the U.S. to racial and ethnic profiling, and there are so many more travelers, TSA officials will have to screen way more passengers in much less time.
That's NPR's Tovia Smith reporting. Rafi Sella is an international transportation security consultant based in Israel. And he says the kind of screening that Tovia described is just one part of a system that has kept Tel Aviv's Ben-Gurion International Airport safe from attack since 1972. But he says what the TSA is trying out at Logan probably pales in comparison to the Israeli protocols.
The interview process, which the Americans don't like the name, is basically a behavior profiling process in which very well-trained people are talking to the travelers trying to find intent.
From what I understand, you know, you when you approach, I don't know, is it the check-in counter, that part of the check-in process? I mean, you may be standing there 15, 20 minutes, maybe even half an hour, having very detailed questions asked of you. Is it as formalized as that?
Yes. It's before the check-in, and it's an accelerating process. If you answer the first line of questioning the way you're supposed to answer it, then you're free. If not, you know, you go into the second line and third line, and it becomes sometimes really almost an harassment by the point of view of the traveler. I don't believe the same system will be installed in Logan, because if you go all the way it's done in Ben-Gurion, you will be invading privacy in the United States, and it won't fly. I'm not familiar with the system that they are installing in Logan, but I can tell you right away that if this is the only system that will be looking at intent, it is worthless if it's not part of a system.
So at Ben-Gurion, the interview is only one of many pieces, but those other pieces also look for intent, as you said?
Yes. If for some reason the interviewer misses an intent in the interview, there are many other places in which we can catch intent. In an area like an airport or border crossing or a seaport, everything is moving. The planes, the cars, the people, the crew, the workers, the vendors, everything is moving. Nothing is standing still. And the first law of security says that if your target is moving, you have to move with your target. The biggest mistake TSA is doing is it's standing still. It is not moving with the target. Now, you know, moving with the target is just a figure of speech. The way you move with the target in the Israeli system is by using what we call security circles, like a filter with different size of holes. And you go through all these holes, and if you're not catched on the first circle, then the second, the third, the fourth, and the fifth, in one of those we will catch the intent. And it's very good. I mean, it has been in place for many, many years, and it has been proven very effective. But we are, by the way, letting you go with bottles of wine and water and, I don't know, and
you get to keep your
milk and everything through the security because we don't care. Once we have established you don't have an intent, we don't care what you bring on the plane. Mm.
Rafi Sella, I wonder if I may ask you, one concern that we've heard about the TSA's program at Logan Airport is that the screeners who will be doing these interviews may not be as well-trained or as well-paid or even as well-educated as the screeners at Ben-Gurion Airport in Israel. Is that a valid concern?
It's a very good question and a very valid concern. I mean, it's a human interface. People who do the work have to be well-paid, well-educated, and very well-trained. And there is one more piece to this. You have to drill them constantly, because in Ben-Gurion they're doing this all the time, although they're seeing much more suspects than they will ever see in Logan. Ben-Gurion Airport drills its security personnel 6 times a day. Not once a year, not twice a year, but 6 times a day. You can see as a traveler coming in or going out of the airport that you are stopped for a second. And there is some erroneous Hebrew message going through the PA. And after like 2 minutes, they say thank you very much and they let you go through. They actually are drilling scenarios all the time and are testing the systems for response all the time.
Now, you know, we acknowledge that we may not know everything about the TSA's program beyond what they've decided to tell us about the initiative that they're launching at Logan Airport. But from what we do know, Do you believe that the addition of this behavioral screening is going to increase the effectiveness of security at an airport like Logan International in Boston?
Well, if this is an only system, no. The answer is no. Because if you rely on one checkpoint, this is very dangerous. And by the way, let me tell you something. The number one piece of security in airports and border crossing is intelligence. It doesn't even start at the airport. It's the intelligence and the real-time alerts that are being downloaded to the people who are doing the screening, and I have not seen a system like that at TSA at all.
Rafi Sella is an international transportation security consultant based in Israel and the president of AR Challenges. Mr. Sella, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Thank you for having me on your show. Good day.
Coming up after the break, the country needs jobs. So what can Massachusetts do to help its small businesses create jobs? I'm Anthony Brooks with Meghna Chakrabarty.
This is Radio Boston.